So hi, Matt Devlin, very welcome to a chat with Sabrina, as this might be called from now on. How are you, darling?
Very well, thanks. You?
I'm very well. Where have you been recently?
Recently I've been back in the States, back in Atlanta, Georgia, and Boston.
Have you been doing any gigs there?
I've done a couple gigs up in Boston at the Comedy Studio, which is in Cambridge.
How did they go?
As far as I could tell, they went very well.
Because you started doing comedy in this country, didn't you? You didn't do comedy in the States when you were living there. You'd started here, didn't you?
That's right, yeah. I lived here for probably a good 5 years before I decided to pursue this.
And what's your feeling like as an American who started doing their comedy in this country? How did it translate when you went back to your own home territory?
I suppose I had to tone certain things down. Or
like what?
There was, I suppose, certain political slants that I represented early on regarding terrorism. And
what, pro or anti?
Yeah, I'm pro-terrorism.
Like, can you be... No, can you be like more specific on what you had to tone down? It's just I've been to see Aristocrats and we're quite interested in how fascinated the American comics were by real scatological humour, and that's basically what the whole show's about. And I have some other comedy mates and I was sitting there going, oh, that's a bit odd that they found it so shocking, and we were just like, that's what you hear all the time over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did one bit of material, for example, that was a comparison of the definition, the dictionary definition of terrorism compared to the dictionary definition of bullying and how close they actually are. And it's almost like, what would you rather be, a bully or a terrorist in the grand scheme of things? And then I took that one on the road and I was in Houston, Texas at the Laugh Stop, and I decided throw caution to the wind and threw it out there, and it was actually very well received. But I did something similar in Atlanta at a couple of different clubs, and they weren't particularly thrilled with it.
Did they just go silent, or did they heckle you?
There wasn't much heckling. A lot of these bigger rooms don't tend to get too many, you know, drunken hecklers. The Laugh Stop had potential to go horribly wrong, and you know, fortunately it didn't. So I guess I'm lucky.
But so do you think the Americans, I mean, again, it's difficult because I know that each state in America is so different, so I'm making a huge, massive generalization here. Do you think they want stuff a little bit more tame, or do you think they're actually up for having something quite strong as it's sort of within the groove of what they're thinking anyway?
Well, I think you get a quick minute to gauge the audience and what they're going to be up for. I've seen a lot of people walk out on certain acts because they've been particularly vulgar or abrasive or whatever, and you know, if those people don't want to hang around, then so be it. But I think a lot of times they do want their, you know, vanilla flavored comedy, and you know, what can you do?
You're not really a vanilla flavored comic, are you?
Not particularly, no. I like to...
How would you describe your comedy?
I don't know. I think it's... I like to ask questions, and I think the human mind is a sort of a curious thing by nature, and people at an early age ask a lot of questions, and you get fed a lot of shit back as far as, well, that's just the way it is, or just accept it, or because I said so. So over time, you just stop asking questions, you go through the motions, you punch the clock, you get your pension, you die. Later in life, some people get inspired to start asking questions again. And, you know, that happened for me, you know, whatever, 3 or 4 years ago, where I started writing and eventually doing comedy. As far as asking the questions, you know, people talk about it being a expression issue. And for a while, I thought that was why I was interested. But it's an ability or an opportunity to ask questions, difficult questions maybe.
With that, I mean, I know I'm very pro-English, but I really do love America, so really be free to say this, but do you think having an English living perspective on the American situation made a difference to what your perspective on what was going on in the political situation? Or if you'd stayed in America, do you think it would be very similar?
Yeah, I think living in this country has opened my eyes to a lot of things. You've got newspapers and access to things over here that we don't. You know, they force feed us a fair amount of propaganda, and
we have propaganda as well.
Yeah, well, I go home, I watch the news, and it's laughable. It's just the biggest pack of lies put together to serve the needs of the powers that be. There's no two ways about it. it's never.
And how do you deal that with your mates or family or friends or whatever when you're hanging around and you go, hang on a sec, that bit of information slightly peculiar or slanted?
Yeah, cheers. Good question. I just order another round, you know. Fuck it. Pardon my French. Sometimes you can talk to people, other times you can't. I've had heated debates over all sorts of things in America. And you got to choose your battles. You know, and I get an outlet thanks to people like you and to, you know, vent my spleen a bit. But it's not always about venting your spleen either. That's probably the worst answer that one could give, but I just, if I feel that I can express myself or I can communicate a point, then I will. If I feel that the people that I'm talking to are worth trying to, you know, debate with, then I will. Otherwise,
let's keep your head down. Because it's something I think that living in America, my experience was that things are much more generic, and in the way that they're done, that makes them so generic means that they're very biased, because they're for the whole country, they're not for. Whereas Britain, being much smaller, we can actually be slightly more specific or more parochial or whatever the word is, that we can actually look at things from a very tiny slant. Whereas in America, you've got like so many states and 200 million people and blah 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 blah, and so a lot of the news or the political slant is so watered down that the room for divergence seems to be a bit narrower, and also there doesn't seem to be much of a culture of debate there either.
I'd agree with most of that. They do try and make it very black and white. I mean, Bush even said, you're either with us or against us. Who the fuck says that? You know? That's it. You're either with us or against us. All right, dude. You know?
That's called democracy.
No, it's not. It's called bullying.
So what when, as an American being over here, what sort of, you know, what feeds you, what gets you up going, fuck, I'm really going to get to grips with that and write about that, or what am I going to think about? I mean, I know that your stuff's not only political, you do other things as well. Sort of what gets your juices going? I mean, mine is stupid things that I do and stupid things that I get myself involved with. I'm also fascinated by breaking stereotypes of things that I see or come across.
I just think that, you know, we're 5 years into the 21st century and there's still so much contrived bullshit that we're just fed. And you can't help but overlook it, because it's, you know, it's so there, it's so in your face, that it's almost too obvious. And so, you know, I see certain things or certain lifestyles or certain beliefs, and I just think it's wrong, you know. And I'm not saying I'm right, and I'm not saying I've got all the answers, because I don't. But, you know, certain things do grind my gears, and I look for them in politics. Or vegetarians, for example, those. What the fuck, you know?
Do you have fun doing comedy, or is this all about getting cross?
It's both, really. It's both. You know, sometimes you want to stamp your feet and have a good tantrum, and other times you come in, you throw a completely crazy idea out there, and the majority of the audience grasps it very quickly, very early, and you can't help but, you know, have fun when that happens, when you start slating people that oppose the death penalty in the first minute of a gig, and, you know, people are cheering for you. That's kind of nice.
So where do you see yourself in 5 years' time, Matt, as a comic?
Hopefully in a fairly similar position to where I am now, but getting paid a good amount of money for it.
You want to stay in live work?
I don't have any desire to do much more than stand-up comedy. I've got some writings and whatnot that I think I'd eventually like to put out there, but that's not, you know, that's not live, I guess.
Performing's your main focus of what you want to do, is performing in front of a live audience rather than doing telly or acting, as many comics are trying to get into.
Yeah, I don't want to act. Essentially, yeah, I'll be on telly if it means that I'm, you know, doing a gig and they're televising it. But apart from that, you know, all these sitcoms and TV shows and top 50 whatevers and stuff like that, I'm not interested. But then I'm human, and if someone wants to pay me a stupid amount of money to pass judgment on celebrity outfits in Saint-Tropez, I'm not going to
Well, see, isn't it? Because I think that's a dilemma of a lot of people. It's certainly not my focus. But if someone said, "Look, Sabrina, can you go and advertise a building society commercial? Look, here's $250,000, you know, $250,000 to go and do it. You know, would I do it? Of course, I bloody would.
Yeah, you'd be a fool not to.
Sell my soul. But part mainly that is, well, this is my perspective today. Mainly the reason for doing that is to feed my ability to then work in front of a live crowd. It means I could tour slightly better. It means that I could, like, get slightly nicer photographs, although I have got some fabulous ones at the moment. You know, it all sort of feeds that, doesn't it? But it's not really what I'm doing it for.
Yeah, I think, you know, every gig is an opportunity to get another gig. And if you feel like you're not compromising your material or yourself, then go for it. If people want to... People are doing, you know, ads for cider and lager and building societies, and absolutely, go for it. Because then you can quit your 9-to-5, you can focus on what you want to do, and onwards and upwards.
Can you just, lastly, just tell me, I mean, people think I should ask this first, but I think it's easier to ask at the end. Do you remember the turning point from when you went from thinking about doing stand-up to actually taking the action to doing it, like when you put your finger in the dial and started dialing for that first open spot gig?
I can't remember the exact moment. I'd been encouraged by a friend in Boston who ran a club. And then when I came over here, a few other people that I'd worked with sort of encouraged me as well. And it was just finally a matter of pulling my head out of my ass. That was in, I believe it was sort of October of 2003. And I did my first gig around that time. And then I was away for like three or four months. So I did my first gig, went okay, and then I didn't do another one for 3 or 4 months. But it was about that time, and I'd been researching it and writing and building up the courage, and just like everyone else, I'm sure, once you finally take that plunge.
I don't know, people have got very different pivotal points of what pushes them from thinking about it to doing it. And some people just fall into it at the age of 4, they make that decision, and then they sort of just keep performing from that perspective. So I think it's very different for everybody. So you talking a wee bit earlier about hopefully doing a national tour of the States in a year or so's time. Is that right?
Well, I wouldn't say it was a comedy tour exclusively, but it's always been a dream of mine. Always, for, you know, always being the last 4 years. To just go to America, buy a car or a pickup truck and drive around the entire country. And just see all my fellow countrymen in their element, try and come to grips with some of them, I suppose, and you know, incorporate some comedy into that, or some dishwashing, or you know, whatever. I mean, I've done gigs from Boston to Seattle and as far south as Atlanta and Texas. So I'd like to think I can, you know, build up a little network, even if it's unpaid, and then just, you know, take that time to see the whole country and do it while I'm still young, and you know, hopefully get something out of it. Comedy-wise.
Thank you very much, Matt Devlin. Good luck. Thank you.